Welcome to Three Skulls Tavern, a channel devoted to tabletop role-playing games by Free League Publishing. This show is sponsored by Foundry, the virtual tabletop, as well as Worldmill, online server hosting for the Foundry tabletop. To support the show, head over to patreon.com/MattK. For a minimum of $2 per month, you get access to a ton of extra content.
There we go. Hit the wrong button for a second and turn all the GIFs on all at once. So there was a little subliminal messaging there. Hello and welcome back to Three Skulls Tavern. I'm Matt, your host, and we're back into Twilight 2000. After, it's been 5 weeks, Tony, hasn't it?
Yes, way too long. And what is this game again? I don't even remember what we are playing tonight. We're playing Lego? No.
we're on quite the cliffhanger as well, so we've kind of left people dangling with not knowing what's going to happen. Basically we missed a session a few weeks ago just because of some family stuff came up, and then I was sick for like a week and a half with a bacterial infection. So a lot of things that we'd hoped to get done haven't actually happened. And therefore, here we are, 5 weeks later, with only coming back to it now. That means we're going to do probably a little bit of a longer recap than we normally would, just so people are back on board. If you haven't watched that last episode in a little while. There are also some things that we wanted to change with Foundry that I haven't had a chance to do, unfortunately. One of those is that the Twilight 2000 Foundry module has been updated to the final rule set. But there's some additional Foundry things that go with it. That we have to upgrade Foundry to the new 0.8. And this Foundry instance also shares the Forbidden Lands module, which has also recently been updated. But I haven't updated. They kind of all have to be done at once. And we also have to troubleshoot them before we start recording. Because I was something I planned to do while I was sick. Didn't get a chance to do it. So here we are. We're still using the old module for Twilight 2000, so it doesn't have the new functionality that hopefully when we update, everything will be working properly. So just a little bit of behind the scenes there in case people were expecting to see some new stuff. This is still the old setup that we've been using for the previous episodes. Recap then. Tony, give my voice a break and you want to give us a recap on what happened last time?
So, okay, can you change the map to Kevno so everyone can see what happened?
Yeah.
So basically, we met this group, as everyone might remember, we met this group of marauders that they were staying in this farm that was on the other side of the river of Prosna. And the idea, you know, discussing with them, they wanted our help to kind of, you know, have some idea of what's going on in Kevno. Apparently, there was like a big Soviet army that was going to attack Kevno, and there was some resistance in Kevno. So we decided, because it was on the way and, you know, we wanted to see what was going on, we decided we would be helping and that we would be scouting. So we decided to take the route to go south, to take the road that was crossing the river. And we found some people who were trying to, you know, escape from war, you know, kind of six, I think they were Polish people that were famished and looking for shelter. You know, they were a little bit aggressive with us, but we managed to, you know, to continue moving forward and just directing them to the farm. And then when we arrived to the road, we were like, yeah, we're gonna cross, everything's gonna be okay, nothing's gonna happen. And then we had an encounter. And in fact, the encounter was a very nasty one. So we actually encountered like three vehicles, Soviet vehicles, a BTR with a KPV, a light machine gun, two trucks with soldiers. In total, I think the encounter is 10 soldiers, two on the BTR, and the rest are on the other two trucks that we haven't decided yet. They didn't see me, but they did. So they did see Rick, I think. And then they started shooting from the distance to Rick. And then Rick, like a miracle, I think he got hit, but just a tiny bit. Not that much. I think you only got
two of my hit points are gone out of five. So, I mean, it's a significant amount. but
yeah,
I'm not dead. They didn't kill me, which is good.
Yeah, so we managed to cross the river, but then the BTR, of course, is running fast and it's trying to get us. I think we were quite lucky because I think it got stuck, it got jammed. I think it got a bad roll and it got jammed. And I think Rick was just running downhill, trying to hide into the little foresty area that we had right there. I think Rick had dropped the backpack. I think he was kind of juggling just to find a grenade. And I think I was just waiting and providing cover with my M21, like behind the tree, just aiming at the BTR, which obviously is not going to happen. But that's about it. And I think what we also said is that basically these three vehicles were probably going to regroup with the other Soviet forces in Kepno. That was kind of also the reasoning why we had this encounter on this specific area.
Yeah.
And I think that was it, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty intense, actually.
Yeah, so just looking at the maps again, if we go back, I won't bring the command center up one. The Kepno map, that circle down here, this is Kepno. The X is where the suspected Russian forces are encamped. And this is the bridge over the Prosna that we're at right now. So this is then the battle map for that. This is that bridge. So we're still a fair way away from where we want to get to. We haven't put hexes on this because this is kind of a theater of the mind sort of map. This is meant to be like something hand-drawn that the one of the resistance guys gave us. So yeah, here we are. And if we look at the combat tracker, it's currently... I think what we're going to do... It says not started, so I think the thing to do here is to... In fact, it doesn't even look like we've used it properly at all yet. There are things that have been drawn for it, but there's some weird, like... anyway, we'll figure that out in a second with the initiative type of thing. I think we'll start it from... I think we'll leave the initiative as we've drawn it because the initiative values are in there, which means we've already drawn an initiative once, right? And then we'll draw... we've got a 9 for the a 9 for the Soviets.
Yeah, I think the first one was... I don't know if it was the BTR... And I think the other one was one of the trucks. That did not
we've split. I think it's because we've copied. We've copied one of the tokens.
Yeah, probably did. Maybe
so
that's
why. The token at the bottom right is the one that's in the combat tracker currently. So I'm gonna get rid of this one.
Yeah, get rid of the one that the one that is 9. Keep it, and the other one you can get rid of. Yeah, just duplicate it because we were supposed to have two combatants. I mean, in the BTR, one is the driver, one is the one on the machine gun. We can keep that one.
And I think, we haven't got reverse initiative order, the module enabled. I'm just going to quickly hit that very quickly, see if it hopefully doesn't crash my setup. Is it boot you out as well, Tony?
Let me see. No, I missed it inside.
Okay, so it's reloading that. It's important to have that that module enabled because otherwise it doesn't give us the right order for combat. We're back in relatively quickly, so that's good. So I guess the thing to talk about is we're gonna basically assume that we're top of the round, which is going to be the two of us going first, followed by the Russians, and we're going to just have all the Russians go on one turn just to make this try and keep this going as quickly as possible. Because we both also drew a 2 and a 3, which really is quite good, right? There's I guess a chance that they could draw one if we were to do split things, but again, we'll just keep this going fast and loose for the moment. Also give us a slight advantage because we're outnumbered, and I don't really want to die. We've already kind of we had a chat about this as well offline, and there was a bit of a discussion that maybe we should have done this a bit differently. Like I'd kind of misunderstood what Tony had wanted to do. Tony was suggesting we crossed the river higher up and avoided the bridge, so we would have come across basically here by this forest, whereas I had just moved us along to the bridge, in which case we wouldn't have had this encounter at all. Anyway, by the by, we are where we are, so going back to the battle map now. I'm going to have to preload everything, aren't I?
Yeah, sorry guys.
Yeah. So, if we're going top of the round, it's the two of us. What are we gonna do first then, Tony?
What do you think? I would say
we probably have a moment to discuss it between us as characters as well, right?
Probably shouting to each other. I was probably just asking you to come to try to hide into the forest because
we're in hexes right next to each other now, so we can probably like come up with a plan fairly quickly.
So from my point of view, what I am trying to tell you is like try to hide as much as you can in the forest and kind of prepare, because I think you had six grenades or something like this when you, if I remember correctly,
I think
or
I might have only four in my combat webbing.
yeah. I
Yeah,
mean the
I'm free.
grenades will not do much against the BTR,
No.
but as long as they step out, you can. And since now the BTR is jammed, because the issue I see if you look at the map is that it was kind of a very open area after the breach. I mean, at least there is nothing, so it's probably planned or kind of fairly open. So
Yeah.
if we start running, the BTR will just mow us down. So it doesn't, you know, I think we only have this cover here in the river, but the rest, it's quite open. So I don't think we have a lot of chances of surviving running. I mean, my plan was, if they didn't see us before, was to hide under the bridge and try to, you know, let them go through. But since they saw you, I mean, they didn't see me yet, so I still have this kind of potential ambush I can provide. So my plan probably will be to move myself to this rock that is next to me, just kind of lay down with my 8M21, put it properly, put the scope, and try to get them, you know, feel that we are more than we are, like trying to shoot
Yeah.
at any soldier that comes out. And then you should be doing something similar with your grenades, kind of showing them that, you know, there might be more forces than that they might know, and they might get scared and run away. You know, maybe they might think that we have a bazooka or something.
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot we can do here. It helps that they're big gun jammed, right? Because it does mean that they're gonna feel like if they're taking heavy fire, it's gonna make them think twice, right? Because they can't just use that heavy gun on our position. So maybe they'll retreat and give us a chance to get away. We'll play.
So
Yeah,
that,
that's a good idea.
yeah. And then I mean if you want, we can ask the oracles too, probably. Do they feel intimidated? And I hope we, you know, try to see, we can try to see if this works. And then
Yeah.
depending as the oracle rolls, maybe we manage with our plan. So that could be my idea, because we still haven't seen the two trucks are coming. They still didn't arrive. So I mean, it's not over.
Yeah. Okay, so let's jump into it. You're first in the initiative order. So, yeah.
So my plan would be, as I said, to move maybe to the hex of the stones, and my idea would be like move, lay down, try to hide myself as much as I can with a sniper rifle ready. I have a telescopic sight, and I'm just trying to see if I can shoot something. You know, if any of the soldiers come through,
Okay.
or maybe even the truck, you know, maybe
So,
I can shoot at the driver of one of the trucks.
yeah. So put yourself into Overwatch position.
Something like that, yes.
I think the bridge. Let's actually ask the Oracle about this bridge. Let's ask the Oracle if the bridge has a substantial railing on the side, or if it's something that isn't really blocking, giving them any cover. Yeah? So, let's roll this here. The question is, does it have substantial railing? The answer is no. So we can just assume it's maybe got like a very simple kind of you know how
Like a
some road
metallic.
bridges have these like metallic like aluminium siding things with some holes on them. That's only maybe like less than a meter off the ground, something like that.
Yeah, and there is one point in chat, like Tony L, one thing to consider is Soviet doctrine. Unless this unit is designated to defend this bridge, which is, we said it is not, but just reunited with the other forces, they could proceed to their assigned mission area
Yeah.
and maybe report you guys to somebody. So what we are saying is basically it goes in this direction, like try to make them show that it's not worth fighting us, and maybe scare them off, because you know
Yeah.
we are a bigger force than we are. And then yes, they will come looking for us, but maybe we
I
can
like
scare
it.
them off.
I like it.
Yeah, thank you.
So, I think that makes sense as well. Like they're meant to be, yeah. They're meant to be reinforcing the Russian troops. I mean, that's the assumption because they're traveling in that direction, right? And that's some of the intel that we'd had previously too. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Also, again, as we've said, their heavy weapon is jammed. I'm probably going to throw a frag grenade anyway, and that's hopefully going to stir them into thinking, you know, well, yeah, as Tony's suggested, report it and Yeah, maybe someone else will go to take care of us. But yeah, all right, fine. So they only know that they only think it's me as well. So if I'm too hot of a fish to try and fry, then maybe they'll just be like, "Oh, fuck this guy. Let's we don't want to lose any of our own troops on this. We need to get to our to reinforce yeah. our comrades." Okay, so you take your move and your that's your fast action, and your slow action is then to go into Overwatch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We do have some little icons and tokens that we can use. We're not going to use them right now, but if I show you, for example, here, this green circle with the yellow shield is a cover icon, just to denote that there's cover there. It's kind of hard to see when I put my backpack icon over the top, because obviously I have a... that's where I've dropped my backpack.
I'm gonna keep track of that. I think it's good, because, for example, I am behind the rock, so probably I have a good cover. I could even go between full... to partial cover, and it's also showing in which direction, so basically shows in which direction you are, you know, protected from fire in a way. So we are assuming I'm protected from this direction.
Same for you. I think with a rock it's probably only partial cover, right? Full cover would be like that or something.
Fair point. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, partial cover works for sure. I'm in the trees, kind of hiding behind a tree, so I'll have full cover. Okay, anyway, it's my turn now. So I got a frag, one of the frags off my combat webbing in our last session. So I think I'm going to throw one.
Okay.
They're both still in the vehicle, though. So maybe I'll wait, actually, because I don't think I'm going to be able to... I know I'm not going to be able to take this vehicle out with a grenade. So actually, I'm going to do Overwatch as well.
That's holding it there.
I think I'm just gonna. I don't think I want to move any further. I don't want to move anywhere, because if I move further away, it's gonna make it harder for me to throw this grenade. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think I'm just gonna hold my. I'm just gonna hold my action and take an Overwatch. An Overwatch action. Okay. Yeah. I didn't do begin combat, so we'll do that next. Now it's the Soviet's turn. So this is where we're gonna lean into the oracles a little bit, I think. And the first question is. Like, they shot at me, I went running, are they going to chase after me? And bearing in mind also what Tony has said, and, you know, what their primary mission is, I think the way we're going to do this is we're going to say it's an unlikely that they're going to stop and engage, right? Especially as I've disappeared into tree line. So we're going to ask the Oracle, do the Russians pursue us? Do they actually stop to try and pursue me? And we're going to draw two cards, and we're going to take I'm trying to think of how to do this. The likelihood is that they're not going to, right? So if we draw a card that says no on it, then they're not going to, right? We're going to ignore the one that says yes. If we draw two cards that say yes, then it's the Oracle saying, well, the likelihood, you know, we've kind of stacked the odds in our favor here. But the Oracle's still telling us something else. So that's what we're gonna roll with, I think. Yeah, does that sound good to you?
Sounds good. I'm wondering about the two trucks that come in behind.
Well, they're gonna be in like radio contact, right? So I imagine
In the sense that will they stop, probably the BTR stops to protect the two trucks to pass by, and instead of going and leaving the trucks behind, just there is danger.
That makes sense, yeah.
So I'm wondering if the BTR probably will just hold position somewhere there, trying to unjam, and then what is going to happen is that the two trucks, they will say go, 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 and then the BTR will hold position until the trucks have passed, and then maybe the BTR will drive away too, because it makes sense to protect
them. So it'd be kind of like that. So go here, and the other ones will drive around it.
Yes, yeah. The two behind are the two trucks, so basically they will just drive by.
So I guess the question is. So we have to think very carefully what we're asking the Oracle exactly, right? It needs to be like a yes or no question. So I guess, like, have you got a way of thinking to word this? Go on, have you got an idea?
No, what I would say is probably that's... I mean, we can say, will they do this or they drive away? Probably you can say... I mean, I think it's very likely that they stop by and let the trucks go by. But maybe you can say maybe they got scared because they got jammed and they continue. I don't know.
Okay, so the question to the Oracle is, will they do what you suggested, which is...
Hold position.
Hold position and let the two you know, smaller vehicles drive past, and then they continue on their way.
Yeah.
And in that respect, if we get any no results, unless we have two no results.
Yeah, and then the Tony is also mentioning, will Soviets hand you down?
That's an easy one.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Yes or no?
Okay, so we'll do that. We're going to draw two cards again, and because the likelihood is that they won't be doing it, we will ignore. If we have a yes and a no, we'll ignore the yes. Right? That's basically what we're saying, because that's the unlikely. It's an unlikely scenario. We could flip it on its head to do with the yeses, and we could ask, will the Soviets ignore us, yes or no? And then we would kind of stack it in the favors of the yeses. Let's do it like that. Will the Soviets ignore us?
Yeah.
Or keep a watch but otherwise ignore us? Draw two. And if we have at least one, then they're going to ignore us. Maybe. And a strong yes. So we stick with that strong yes. The strong yes is basically saying, absolutely, they have this mission. For whatever reason, they are not worried about just me. They know they've shot me already. They've made contact with me, and they think I'm only one, like a lone soldier. So it's not worth stopping and delaying, and the risk of maybe one of them getting killed. So they're going to continue on their way.
Okay, but they will protect probably the trucks.
Yeah,
let them go first.
The front Soviet vehicle is going to stop there, basically take like an overwatch position, I would guess.
Yeah.
They're going to try and unjam, I guess, as well. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But the vehicle is on top of the... Do they have to get... Like, they have to like, exit the top of the vehicle to like, unjam the gun, right?
Probably, yeah.
So I don't imagine they would probably do that. Initially, I think they'd probably... Let's keep an eye. They probably have some, like, slits in the vehicle, or a place where they can actually shoot a gun from within the vehicle, I would imagine. Or, like, you know, little windows that drop down.
Check the vehicles. Yeah. And they got, maybe, yes. Let me check real quickly.
Regardless, they're gonna wait and keep an eye, right?
Yeah.
I'm waiting to throw my grenade for someone to exit a vehicle. Like, if they're going to come on foot, I'm gonna blast them with a grenade, right?
No, it's actually inside. Yeah, it's actually the turret and the machine gun is inside, so they definitely can unjam it from inside. Makes sense.
And Tony's saying they'll have weapon ports as well, so they'll be able to open those to shoot, you know, a rifle or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that's what they're doing. We've had a strong yes from the Oracle, so they're going to ignore us. So this first vehicle is going to move. I mean, we can just kind of narrate this a little bit, right? They kind of move past like this.
Yeah, I'm just holding position up there with my sniper, and I see like the trucks going past the bridge very fast, and I'm like, zoom, zoom. and I can hear the BTR there, like maybe we can hear them unjamming or moving around, and you are like behind the tree, like holding position, like
with my grenade.
I'm not here.
Like maybe like holding my arm or something where I got shot. I don't actually know exactly where I got shot. But yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so that's our encounter, the big cliffhanger we left it at. Well, there's a lot of talking around this to try and figure out what we wanted to do. And, it was maybe a little bit anticlimactic, like we didn't have a massive firefight or anything like that. But I think that feels realistic. It's leading us up for the big showdown in Kepno, anyway. They all drive past. I'll recover my backpack. And let's move back to the Kepno map. So,
yeah, actually, we were expecting both of us to die, but yeah, it's good. I think probably could have gone much more in a very more traumatic way if you got like a solid hit, if they got a solid hit on you, but because you only have two hit points, so it's not so bad.
I'm not out in the open armor as well. I think if I had been out in the open and they could see it was just me running away, then they might have stopped and taken pot shots at me.
Yeah.
You know, but this kind of makes sense. And we asked the Oracle. So the Oracle had the opportunity to give us two no results, which would have meant they would have stopped to pursue us. But it didn't. It said a strong yes. That implies that they definitely are going to be ignoring us and continuing with their mission. So all good. Okay. So I've taken two hits. We're in cover right now. I'm wondering whether it's worth trying to patch me up if we want to kind of move on a bit away from this bridge and get to some other cover somewhere. Like, if you look at the map on the Kepno map, we've got a couple of forests nearby. There's one to the north and there's one directly to the west. What are your thoughts?
I would say we try to move to the forest area that we have there.
Which one? The west one?
Let me see. Yeah, the west one, the small one that we see there. So we try to go away from the road because we've seen that there's troops movement. So I would say we move to this position there. I mean, I cannot mark it, but you know which one.
Yeah, another one. Yeah, the kind of oblong.
Then from there, what I would propose is then go to the second forest area and then try to go, to the big one, and then try to move. I mean, they might have patrols, but I'm sure we can probably hide better if we go through the forest and try to scout and find if there is a high position to see how the forces are being. I mean, the idea was also if we could infiltrate, but we'll see. That's what I would do.
Do you remember what time of day it was?
We left early in the morning. Don't remember.
I'm loading up the command center map now to try and check it. Can you have a look, jump in and see if how many hexes we've moved?
Yeah.
So check. Far. Because we can probably...
So we said we were... we probably went to two hexes, and I think the bridge was the two. Okay. Because we were in the one two north. We were in the farmland was two north. In that that bend of the river. And I think we moved to the road, and then we were moving the second one.
We can move two shifts in open terrain, right? Or on a road.
Yeah. So two we could go north. Shift. Yeah, we could go to the one north to show that we are moving to this small probably foresty area.
I'm still loading the command center map.
Okay.
It's at 90%. So any minute now, I'll be able to check exactly where you're talking about. Sorry about this, my slow internet connection again.
Yeah. No, I don't think, Tony, I don't think that somebody's asking about the bleed effects and things like this. I don't think until you get to critical, for what I remember, you don't have anything. I
mean,
I'm
pretty sure the bleeding effects only come with some of the criticals. They don't come with standard. Yeah. You can think of it like... minor cuts and bruises and exhaustion, that sort of thing, is more like what the hit points are for.
And you had an armor. I don't know if you got hit, because I don't remember if we hit the hit location. I don't remember, because it was, I think we was on the ammo dice, if I remember well. and I don't know if we rolled for the hit location to determine if you were hit on your armor, because we could say, well, the armor stopped most of the damage, maybe, and you just are a little bit bruised. But it's true, like on the rules.
I could have some small like grazes where maybe a bullet grazes me or something.
The rules is true. Unless you get a critical, in principle, you are just a little bit beaten.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, so again, here on the map, we move these two hexes. This is where we had been before. Move these two hexes. We're right here on this bridge. So we can say it's taken one shift to get there. So the morning shift is now finished. And now then, when you think about the next shift is the day shift. We can move two hexes through the day, like through the day shift. So this little mini forest at the top here is the one on the Kepno map that was a bit bigger. The other one, I guess, is in this kind of on the edge of the same hex that's just to the northwest of us, right?
Yeah.
So we could move the two hexes and get into the
forest.
Into the kind of northern hex that has the bulk of that forest in it.
So let's try to do that, no? We try to be sneaky.
So. Yeah. And it's we draw a random encounter for every hex or every shift, once per shift.
Yeah.
Right? So let's do that. It's important to bear in mind what terrain we're in, because the terrain affects the whether an encounter is actually whether it actually happens or not.
Yeah.
So,
and then, we have the shift actions on the GM screen, remember?
Yeah.
So if you open the GM screen, you have there the actions. So we'll be marching, and I will be keeping watch.
Yeah.
Because only one character can do it, so I will be the one doing it as kind of the more senior.
You're the sniper as well, you're better at it than I am anyway.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Okay, so we're moving into this hex here. And we're going to be drawing, for this entire shift, we're drawing an encounter. I'm just going to remember which one this is. Encounter card. Here we go. One encounter card.
So forest, and yeah, it can happen any moment, right?
So it happens on a road, or it could happen in a forest during the daytime, or the campfire means it could be an encounter that happens when you're stationary. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. What's missing from this is the like a key for the symbols. I think it just kind of means that can happen in a. There's nothing for grassland or farm or anything like that. So I think that just means it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's off road, so it's PCs times one off road. So we're gonna come across two additional soldiers. So, do you want to read it out?
Yeah. So that's an order. Faction is U.S. military, so that would be our faction. Number PC multiplied by two on the road, so that's not the case. PC multiplied by one off-road, so that would be two. Mm-hmm. A band of stragglers from the U.S. forces in the area. They are starving. One of them is an officer of higher rank than any of the PCs, okay, and will use this fact to order the PCs to do what he wants, which is for them to become part of his unit. If denied, he will get very agitated and might even turn violent. Wow. Okay, that's not an easy one. How to deal with it?
Oh, crap. Okay, so let's say maybe as we're getting towards one of these, the first forest, like we're heading. Let's go back to this Kepno map. Hopefully, I can load it quickly. I can. Good. Maybe we head north to this forest, and then we're gonna head. We're planning on heading west across to the big forest, right?
Yeah, we can maybe position ourselves there, no?
Yeah, maybe towards this one. So we're getting away from the road, okay. Maybe, right? And it's as we enter this forest that we encounter these two. And there's two troops, two U.S. soldiers. One of them is like a grunt like me, and the other one is an officer. And he wants us to join, become part of his unit.
Maybe they were hiding. Let's say that they were hiding on the forest. They were like, you know, we were moving. And I think we should roll for keep the watch, right? I should be able to see if I see them first, no?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yep.
So let's see if I see them first. So that could be my intelligence, which is D10, and my recon, which is D8. So I think I can just click if I remember, no? That at least that works. And we can probably say that they were hiding on the forest area. So maybe I have a minus one to watch if I remember well, to probably see them. And so I will roll for that. So I did not see them. So they just have the jump on us. So we were moving to the forest. And, you know, maybe when we are entering is when they basically, you know, the officer steps out of the position and say, "Hey, you, come here." Yeah. And then we definitely see, "You are staff sergeant, come here."
Yeah, so you have the higher. You're actually dressed as a civilian, right?
Yeah, I'm dressed as a civilian. You're right, actually. He doesn't know if I'm a staff sergeant or not. I mean, you are the only one that are dressed as a military.
I'm a corporal. Yeah,
you are a corporal. So he'll
address me, for sure.
He will address you like, "Hey, corporal, come here."
I'm gonna as soon as I hear the voice, I'm gonna kind of crouch, like get ready, like, you know, put myself into sort of like a ready pose or something, like look a little bit panicked, like we're just entering this forest. Maybe even like if we're just entering the forest, like duck behind a tree. But it's an American voice, right?
Yeah, it's speaking English with
identify and yourself. Who are you?
I raise my hands and I say, "Hey, we are friendlies. My name is Bill Wilson, staff sergeant of the U.S. military."
"I'm Rick Newsom. I'm corporal." Corporal Rick Newsom. I don't know how you'd say that, sorry. Let's roll the NPC generator very quickly. We'll go with...
like a guy. Let's say it's a guy.
Brian. Hard-hearted. Okay, that kind of works. And the grunt. That's with him. A guy or a girl?
A girl, let's say a second.
Teresa, driven. Her goal is to refute a falsehood. And Brian's goal is to build a relationship. Maybe with Teresa.
Who knows?
Interesting. Okay, all right. Does he identify himself?
He should, no?
Yeah, I guess if we both identify ourselves as, U.S. soldiers, then he'll come out and introduce himself as what? What kind of rank is he going to be? What do you think?
That's what I was thinking. Who could be? Let's say he's maybe sergeant, maybe?
No, I was sergeant, thinking more like
staff, sergeant first class. I'm trying to see.
I'm trying to find the list of.
You were thinking like somebody a little bit higher up.
I was thinking a little bit higher up, yeah. But like I'm still a minor. Still like a minor officer, like not too high up, not like a colonel or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
So somebody who's kind of just barely keeping.
Yeah, maybe
keeping
barely
his fingers on. On some semblance of order, right?
Yeah.
And it's also going to be desperate to have people to watch his back too, right? If there are four people in his unit, he's got a much higher chance of survival than if it's just two of them.
Yeah, so let's say he's one above me. So he's a surgeon first class or a master surge or something like that. Surgeon first class or master surgeon?
Yeah, sure.
We can do a kind of lieutenant. I mean, second lieutenant if you want to go a little bit higher. It doesn't. I don't think it does.
In my head, I've got more of a kind of like a lieutenant, like a lieutenant.
Okay, so second lieutenant.
Yeah.
Okay, so second lieutenant, something like that.
So less kind of more. More somebody who's kind of got learned officer experience rather than somebody who's risen through the ranks. So not as practical perhaps as maybe a sergeant major would be. I'm very much going off of like film knowledge here on what this, what that means. So please correct me if I'm wrong in the chat. But yeah, so we've got Brian something. Brian Stevenson. Just popped into my head, I don't know why. Yeah? You happy with that?
So Brian and so I say second lieutenant, we said.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Yeah.
He was? Yeah.
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 So Brian Stevenson.
Stevenson, okay.
Second lieutenant. Or lieutenant, sorry. And then we've got Teresa.
McGrady. Yeah.
Yeah, Teresa McGrady, and she's going to be a. She could be like a.
Maybe a private, not a very. For.
Sure, like, she can be a private. Why not?
Just a very fresh.
Okay, there we go. We got the two of them. Cool. And I guess the thing is to figure out. What we need to figure out is what's this guy's mission?
Yeah.
Yeah, that he wants us to join. Like, he wants to, you know, is he also going to help, the remnants of the Polish
forces in Kepno,
freedom fighters, so to say, in Kepno, or is he doing something else?
So that's the first question
to ask the Oracle, yeah?
Is
he planning on help? Let's do that first. Does he know about the situation in Kepno? Yeah.
Yeah, because he's also starving, so probably his goal is not actually, he's probably like surviving and trying to find food more than anything else.
Yeah, okay, so yes, he's heard about the situation in Kepno, but we've got a but. But he's not interested in helping them. I think that makes a lot of sense, right? We're going to create some tension here between the two of us and him. We're going to probably tell him though, right, that we're headed to Kepno. He's probably going to be addressing you as this, as the higher ranking officer out of the two of us. Anyway.
For now, probably. Yeah.
So
maybe if you want, you can do the guy and I can do myself.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Go put my GM hat on now. Brian Stevenson, second lieutenant. He's probably in his like early 20s, mid 20s, something like that. Mid 20s, we'll say.
Yeah, and I'm 30 something. So
yeah.
I'm older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he outranks you, of course.
Yeah.
What are you doing out here, Staff Sergeant?
And I look at him seriously, and I crouch too next to him, and I say, "Sir, we got some information that there are Soviet forces stationed north of Kepno and planning to attack the town. There's we don't know how many resistance forces are located in town, but we were on our way to gauge what was the situation. And if there was any way that we could help in any way the forces located in Kepno."
No.
Our plan. Huh?
No. You're not doing that. You're not doing that at all. It's far too dangerous. We've seen Ruskies traveling all over the place to reinforce a position somewhere around Kepno. It'd be suicide. No, you're joining my unit, and we're going in the opposite direction. We're going north.
But sir, these forces. We can help them. We can provide some information that can be crucial to the forces in Kepno, and we can help them mount a proper defense against this attack. We don't even know what's the situation in Kepno. I feel it's our duty, sir.
Our duty is to get back home. We're on our own. Everyone's pulling back. Everyone's pulling back west. We're not here to try and save Poland. We're here to try and get home. This is not for debate. You're part of my unit now. We're heading north, away from Kepno.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
Also, just you left the military to kind of join the an intelligence agency, right?
Yeah.
So you're actually not technically probably a staff sergeant anymore, right?
Probably. I mean, I probably keep the rank, but yes, I'm not. I'm not part of the. Yeah, the army in a way. I mean, right now, like more external consultant in a way. I mean,
so I still keep my... Yeah, so I think he's also going to look at your, like, look down at what you're wearing and say, "What happened to your uniform, Staff Sergeant?"
And I look at him and say, "Sir, I'm here as a consultant. I'm trying to help your troops, I mean, U.S. troops, to learn how to survive in this treacherous terrain and in these harsh conditions. I mean... This is what they do. I managed to pull out this, and I'm looking at Rick, like this soldier with me, and we have been traveling south to try to rejoin the forces, the U.S. Army. I mean, as far as our information we have.
He'll pull out a map, I think. He said north, actually. Maybe he doesn't mean north. Maybe he means north going around Kepno.
Okay.
So he'll pull out his map and kind of share it with you and say, "I'm glad you said survive, Staff Sergeant, because that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm not getting into any fights that I don't need to get into, especially ones where there's a significant Russian force about to attack. I want to get back to our troops, back to our headquarters alive." And he kind of pulls this map out and points a finger down at, let's see, where were the headquarters again?
Kalish. We were in Kalish, located. I mean, we were traveling to Russia, that's what we said, right?
Rokla?
Rokla, yeah. How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, okay. I guess, I thought there was one of these that had like an HQ on it, but I don't see one. Oh, it's this, I think it's this one up here. Anyway.
Right.
Yeah, we were heading to Rokla. So he kind of points, I guess, up to where the previous known headquarters were, which is this this one that's kind of to the right of Legnica.
Okay. Yeah.
And he says, "That's where we're heading. We're going to skirt north around Kepno. Stick to the trees. Avoid the road because there's lots of Russian vehicles traveling on the roads right now."
Yeah, I can attest to that. We just encountered a BTR and two trucks on the main road to Kepno.
Which direction were they heading?
They were heading to Kepno. My guess is that they are joining the forces.
And you want to go to Kepno? He shakes his head. There's already a significant number of troops there. No, absolutely not. They're on their own, just like we're on our own now.
Sir, I must inform you that there is a farm north of here with some Polish civilians and a resistance group that are planning on helping Kepno. We are not alone on this.
Well, maybe they can go and reinforce the their comrades in Kepno. Anyway, this is not a matter for discussion anymore. Rick, lay hand on your shoulder, and
I look at you.
I kind of just when you look at me, I just give a shrug and say, "Yes, sir." So you want to head north, sir, around Kepno? And I guess just trying to think about this logically, he would have probably been Brian and Teresa probably would have been in Kalish when everything went down. We can assume that they maybe went west on the road and then headed down along the river. So kind of like us. So maybe it doesn't make sense for them to backtrack. Maybe they want to go continue south around Kepno that way and avoid the towns. So I'm just trying to think of this logically, like what would his position be exactly? That makes maybe a bit more sense.
Yeah, it's true that if they wanted to go to Legnica, they probably could have gone like off road from Kalish, crossing the river and try to avoid all roads. So why they're in this position? Maybe they like us, maybe they just went south.
So in fact, we're gonna say that they want to go south again. I think that makes a bit more sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to stick with them for now, right?
Yes. Okay. I think we're...
It's still technically the day shift, so we're going to now move south with them down to this hex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're now getting into the evening one, and we need to set up camp, I think.
It's starting to get dark. Usually this is one of the dark ones. I mean, this and night.
Yeah. So I think we need to find some camp and like find a place to make camp and hole up for the night. Okay. So that's what we're going to be doing. This is going to technically be a stationary thing. So we are going to draw for an encounter because it's a new shift, but it's only going to be applicable if there's a campfire icon on the card. So if you see on this one up here with the 10 of spades, it has that campfire icon on it. So that one would have actually have happened. So if we look at this, I'm just going to move our thing out of the way a bit. There is some kind of tree. There are some trees. There's some kind of, I wouldn't say forest, but there's some woods in this hex. Mm. So there's places for us to get out of, we're not going to be camping out in the open or anything. Plenty of places for us to find somewhere. So we're going to be doing some rolls, I guess. We'll come up with stats for our next session for both Lieutenant Brian, Lieutenant Stevenson and Private McGrady so that we've got them statted up. But for now, we'll just stick with Tony and my character's stats.
Yeah. When we are walking, I'm guessing they're taking point. Do you think they will trust us? I guess yes, right? They will be, I don't know how we will be, I don't know if they, Stevenson will be taking point.
He wouldn't be taking point, no. He probably sees that you've got a sniper rifle. Yeah. And he'll ask you to take point because that probably for him makes a bit more sense. You're probably good at kind of scouting things out.
Yeah, okay. So keeping watch and moving, being the first, okay?
Yeah.
And then it would be him probably, most likely. And then either you or Teresa, something like that.
I think Teresa would be keeping up the rear and it would be me and Brian in the middle. Yeah.
Okay. I was saying this because I was planning to. I wanted to have a little chat with you, but I guess
I think he's probably also keen to keep us separated a little bit.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you didn't agree with him straight away. I think he's maybe a little bit cagey. We saw that he was hard-hearted as well. So he's.
Yeah.
He's not in the mood to, do much.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So for now we stick to this plan, and I will keep my doubts to myself.
There'll be time.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to move. We're going to do some more travel rolls. Basically, now, if we go back to open the GM screen here, we go to travel. This is the stuff that can happen. So we don't need to roll again for an encounter or draw another encounter card for the marching. because we do it only once per shift, and we can move the two hexes per shift here. But for making camp, one character rolls for making camp, others can help. So I think that's how we're going to do that. We can have one of us roll for making camp. We'll have one of the NPCs helping us. And then maybe we can do some foraging, looking for edible plants and herbs.
What we have been forgetting is to roll for weather change. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Is it once per shift or once per day?
One per shift. Ah. Yeah. Each shift of the day. It's on the solo rules. I forgot to, so don't worry. One is roll for weather change, then assign the resolve task for each PC. That's what we do, and then roll the encounter count.
What I'll need to do, I'm going to make a note of this, is to come up with some sort of like weather tracker, like I did for the Forbidden Lands game. Yeah. So we need a weather tracker. We need a day tracker as well.
Yeah.
Or shift. Exactly. We can say call it a shift tracker.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll create those for our next session.
I don't even remember what was the weather that we set up. I think it was cloudy, if I remember well, more or less.
That sounds right. Let's leave it for now. And we'll do that. We can kind of let's track it all in one go when we've got something to keep track of it. Yeah.
Perfect.
So just assume the weather hasn't changed. And okay, so making camp is going to be
super
survival. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a B and D, so that's a D10 and a D6.
And I have a C.
You've got a C
on the survival.
So you're a bit better than me at survival. The question is it more important to have a good camp setup or to forage? and I think it makes more sense for me to do the foraging because I'll get a bonus based on the terrain. We're in woods, so we get a +1 to the foraging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's woods nearby, right? So even though there's the hex is open, because there's a forest nearby, that's where I'm going to be looking. So I think that makes sense.
Okay.
So we're both going to be basically rolling exactly the same roll then. So do you want to do make the camp roll first?
Yeah. So no successes. Try to get some branches, find a nice spot, and we don't have a nice spot to.
So just looking up the for what it says here for making camp. If your roll fails, you set up camp to rest and sleep, but the referee makes a hidden roll on the mishap table on the next page. Reroll if it's not applicable to the situation. So why don't you roll a D10?
Okay. 5.
Okay, we're right in the middle of some ants. We're gonna suffer 1 point of stress, and none of us are gonna get any sleep. I will do that. Let's just add the stress now, and we'll sort out this like lack of sleep later. I'm just gonna type it into the chat so we don't forget.
So we probably go to bed in our shifts, and we get all itchy. Right.
Okay, then I'm gonna roll for foraging, see if I found any food. So let me do that very quickly. So I think I right click. No, it should be a D8. I'm not sure how this is going to work, so I'm just going to upgrade it to a... Oh, wait, hold on. With upgrading, I can't remember if you upgrade the highest die or you upgrade the lowest die.
I think it's the lowest, if I remember well.
Let me just double check.
You reduce the highest in the end and you increase the lowest.
For upgrading a base die one step. When stepping down, always try to balance your dice as much as possible, so you step up a lower base die first and downstep a higher die. Yeah, exactly right.
Exactly.
So for me, that would be keeping my intelligence at a B and putting my survival up to a C. So I'm just going to jump my survival up to a C for now, roll, and then I'll drop it back down. Oh, okay. I've got a modifier that comes up, so I'm just going to leave it at leave it there. So modifier is going to be +1. Hit the roll button. I got 2 successes, which is
good. For your forage.
So foraging was successful. If I look at that very quickly, what that means... We're going to stop here in a second, and we'll address some of the questions that have come up in the chat as well before we finish.
Yeah.
Foraging, choose what kind of, let's say, whether we're looking for food or water. And let me just look at my gear.
Yeah, my gear, I have...
I think I'm lower on food from memory. I've got 2 MREs, and I've got 1, 2, 3 waters. We're near a river as well, so I mean, finding water shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah, I have water. I know that's you. Wait, I have.
I think let's go.
One food and 5 water.
Yeah. Okay.
So for me, food is more important.
Yeah, food then for sure. It says it's also modified by time of year. Do you remember what time of year it was? Man.
No, I forgot. I think it was... Yeah, I forgot. Sorry.
We'll have to go back to the first episode.
I forgot.
But yeah, I think it might have been autumn from memory. Mm. Or maybe winter even. But I might be mixing that up with Forbidden Lands. Okay, so... So we find a number of rations of wild food equal to the number of successes rolled. So we find I find two rations of wild food.
Okay, so you probably mark them on your...
Yeah, somebody could have helped me look, so I could have had a plus one to that roll as well.
Yeah, well, I was doing camps with either Theresa or Brian, but since we don't have their stats, but yeah.
Did you roll an upgrade to yours as well?
No.
Ah, you should have rolled an upgrade for yours for some help for making camp.
Yeah, because we didn't determine if they were helping or not. I mean, one of them probably is keeping watch in any case, so we can assume that maybe it was not help. And one of them is, you know, you got help to forage.
Yeah, but I didn't add the plus one. But...
Okay. And then either Brian or Theresa is keeping watch, for example. Maybe Brian could be
keeping watch. He's keeping an eye on us as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so wild food are, it says, edible plants and roots that can be collected by foraging. It spoils after 1 week. Each daily ration of wild food weighs 1 full encumbrance unit, as the energy content is low. So we're going to need to make an item entry in Foundry for it. Mm-hmm. But we got 2+2 wild food. And I'm just going to put the page number, page 131. Okay. I think we're going to end it there as we settle down for the night in a... Oh, no, we get drawn an encounter first as well.
Yeah. And I said that we are sleep deprived. And then you can put it on the ship. Yeah.
Oh, not an NPC generator. Sorry, wrong one. This encounter card. Okay, there's no campfire symbol, so this does not actually happen. No Soviet military in a tank. Maybe we hear a tank rumbling past on the road above us. That could make sense, but it doesn't actually. We don't actually have that encounter. And we're going to stop it there. So we're moving into another new shift, which is the night shift. We're going to draw yet another card, but we'll pick that up next time. In fact, that's as we're all settling down for the night, right? We're settling down for the night. We're going to do some like shifts, I guess, take shifts with who's going to be keeping watch through the night. But yeah, we're going to stop there. Just to jump over very quickly to the chat. Synesthesia said, is the virtual tabletop module that we're using homebrew, or is there one coming? It is actually, in fact, Stefouch has just answered in the chat that Stefouch is the guy who's created this current module and is creating an official module for it as well. It has, as I said at the beginning of this video, that is actually released now. It's like the version 1.0, so to speak. I think there's even been one revision since it's come out. With the full rules is out. It's just not I don't think it's fully out for public use just yet. So there's people testing it. Again, because I've been sick for the past week and a half, I haven't had a chance. I wanted to get it installed and ready to go here, but I haven't had the chance. So we're going to have that ready to go for our next session. But yeah, so it's not a homebrew thing. It is actually, this is kind of a beta early version of the module that we're using. Some of the stuff like the encounter decks, these are the official encounter cards from Twilight 2000 that I've manually put into Foundry here. But they are actual, these are the actual, encounter cards and everything else. So yeah, Steph Hatch has actually asked as well if you'd love to see the modules that I'm using. So I'll just pull that up very quickly. We're not using very money actually at the minute. So we're using custom hotbar, which is this extra hotbar tab here at the bottom. We're using the GM screen, which is this thing here. We can add tabs and things to it. We're using these libraries, I think, are for support for other modules. Mm-hmm. Reverse initiative order, and we've got Trigger Happy as well. Although we're not using Trigger Happy at the moment, right, Tony?
No. But the Trigger Happy, we're using it
in the sense that you can click on any, you create kind of opaque layer, transparent layer, sorry, and then you can click and you can pull different things and create different actions. So we were using it before mostly for the command center. So in case we wanted yeah. to click on a screen, or I think for the journal, you can click on the journal and I think it should yeah. bring up kind of a journal thing. So it's yeah. just to create specific actions and triggers.
So it's nice. Some of the things we're going to be changing, if you look at this list here, we're going to probably implement some of these in our next session. Once we've upgraded as well. So Dice So Nice didn't have support for this current module, which is why we're not using it. But it is supported in the new version that we'll be using. So Dice So Nice will be used. I'm probably going to use the quest log and some of the journal of the journal modules so we can actually start using the journals a little bit more. But this is a very different setup to what I've been using in Forbidden Lands for my solo game there. And I think there's a lot of, especially things like the calendar and the weather and the about time, those are all very heavily tweaked to the Forbidden Lands fantasy setting, which has like a fantasy calendar. So I need to see how those kind of work here with a real world scenario. And I think that probably will work, but I still just need to test everything. We need to bring everything bang up to date as well first. So if some of those modules have compatibility issues, we wouldn't be using them. But it's kind of hard to say exactly what we're going to be using in the end, but... That's basically the list. There might be one or two that we add to it. I did see on the Foundry Discord that they had a module jam recently. So they
yes.
had this jam, like a dev jam, where a bunch of people created small modules. And some of those modules that were created, I had to look through the list today of the submissions. And there's some really good ones in there. And some of which I think we'll probably start using. So, yeah. Anyway, this is all Foundry stuff. Foundry is pretty cool with the modules and things as well. They're pretty... I've recently tried to start playing Fallout New Vegas again recently and spent hours and hours with the mods. And of course, the first time I booted it up, it didn't work. And this is like nothing like that. It feels sometimes a little bit like modding Fallout or The Elder Scrolls, where you're kind of going through a big list of mods and trying to... Man. Think like, oh, that would make the game kind of cool, let's add that in, but then it breaks something else. It doesn't seem to really do that here. I haven't experienced that myself anyway. But anyway, so there might be a much bigger list of mods coming up in the future, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So that's it from me. Tony, did you want to add anything?
No, I think it was fun, and I'm happy to see that we survived the encounter with the Soviet forces. I was actually quite worried. I thought,
I was prepared for a big, like this whole session was kind of prepared for it to be a big firefight where we would be dead.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah.
I'm now not sure where
two more friends.
We've got two friends, right? We'll see what happens there, right? We need to have a chat, the two of us. I guess there will be opportunities, but it's interesting. We've got this an officer.
A posse, no? Yeah,
and I think you're probably less interested in following orders than you would have been at one time, because you're also technically out of the military. Anyway, that's it from us then. So we're going to end it here. If you've got any questions or you have any comments you want to leave, by all means, leave them in the comments of this video. If you want to reach out to us on Discord, then all of the social media links are in the description for where we're at. Discord, there's also like a Twitter and a Facebook as well, but Discord is where kind of all the chat tends to happen. But absolutely, if you want to leave comments here in the YouTube, YouTube comments, I get pinged for them as soon as they arrive, so it won't be too long before you get an answer. But yeah. That's it from us. There may be quite a long delay again, just because there are holidays coming up. Tony's going on holiday for a couple of weeks coming up, and I'm going to be on holiday for a couple of weeks. We're going to try and see if we can record something in advance. So the next session, episode 4 for this, might be a pre-recorded thing rather than a live one like now, just so that we can release something and it's not so long to wait until the next one. Otherwise, it's going to be 6 weeks potentially until the next episode. Which is obviously a huge amount of time. We'll try and see if we can record something before the holidays start up. But yeah, no promises there, because there's a lot of things that depend on that. Otherwise...
Well, it's fun to play. Yeah,
it's been fun. The hour goes by very quickly. very, very quickly. Doesn't really feel like, if you look at how many hexes we've traveled, it's not a lot, really. But yeah, anyway, hope you're all enjoying it. Thanks very much for watching, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah.
Cheers.